University of Banja Luka, and I will be very fast. So I come in this project from a background of digital cultural heritage, and for everything I do, I try to ask myself, why am I doing this? Is it worth the effort? Because if I don't know why I'm doing something, maybe I shouldn't be doing that but do something else. So basically, when we talk about preserving cultural heritage, Sumerians had a solution. Those clay tablets, 4,000 years, no problem. My USB stick does not last that long. Fortunately, my USB stick is trivial to transfer, well, data on it, over the internet to backup it or to put it to cloud, which is something you definitely want to do if you have this particular model of stick. But you cannot easily do the same thing with Sumerian clay tablets. So you win some, you lose some. Basically, the solution that we all came to accept is digitization. But when it comes to digitization, maybe some of you, remember, this is not microfilm, it's called microfiche. This is basically a source code for operating system for a very old computer that we have at the faculty, and I'm making a museum of old computers there. So basically, it's fine after 50 years, but it's a pain in the to read all the source code and type it in, and nobody wants to do that. So we want some digital format, and we started with the digital tapes rolled on, and they look great in science fiction movies from the 80s or 70s, but they are also very complicated to handle. They require a lot of space, etc., etc. So we moved on to a floppy disk, which was actually in 5 1/4 inch, really floppy. You could bend it a lot, unfortunately. Then to also floppy, but not so bendable floppy disks. And then to eOmega Zip Drive, which worked perfectly until you hear the click of death, and after that you can start crying, or whatever you want to do, drinking, perhaps. After that came optical media, which are excellent, to the point that 2 months ago I received the DVD that I needed to read, and nobody on my floor has a functioning DVD reader. Yes. So basically, why open science and open data? Okay, we can digitize, we can put it somewhere on some commercial provider and solve our problems. Yeah, about this slide here, this is ChieveWriter software, which is very old word processor, like Word for Microsoft Word, but maybe for two of us, you might remember it. The catch is, if you have a file written in ChieveWriter, you don't care that you can read it. You also need ChieveWriter, which will not work on your modern Windows PC. And you cannot open ChieveWriter files in Word. So basically, the problem is, maybe we should go back to microfiche, because all you need is magnifying glass. Preserving data is a tricky thing. Even if you use open standard and open source software, and you can compile it and run it on your normal PC, you store it on a Google service, and in 3 years' time, Google shuts it down. Why? Well, there is a thing called Google Graveyard. It's a specialized site that tracks all the dozens of services that Google has killed. Maybe some of you remember GeoCities. They don't exist. Lycos, Tripod, they don't exist. A lot of the sites that we thought were too large to fail do not exist. MySpace, technically zombies long or whatever, but it's nowhere near what it was, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. ICQ does not work, America Online Instant Messenger does not work, etc. Those are all lost data. We are struggling along to digital dark age in, I don't know, 100 years' time. Nobody will have a way to read our images of Facebook or Google Photos, because Google Photos will just send you an email in April and say from July 1st, your unlimited supply of area for your photos is down to 16 gigabytes. You can buy more. And yeah, that's the problem. So basically, when we digitize something, we don't want to just take a photo, we want at least 2 photos for 2 sides. We also would like to have some scale and bunch of metadata that we enter. And of course, you cannot just invent metadata or formats for metadata. So yeah, but unfortunately for cameras, we need to have lights on, so you can see the presentation in the box folder. So basically, this is just metadata for this stone fragment here, which is part of a tool used by Stone Age humans. And basically, you first need to decide what metadata you're entering to control controlled vocabularies, etc., etc., etc. A lot of work to create a digital repository as it's supposed to function. You can also scan a 3D model of something, because you can then slice it without the custos from a museum killing you afterwards because you destroyed something of huge importance. And the problem is that you need a 3D scanner. And 3D scanners, especially good ones, are very expensive. So basically, we created Sherry Tools, which is not one thing. It's more of a portal that enables you to process various inputs into various outputs, depending on what my people from museum actually want to do. So one of the things main that kicked off all this was structure from motion, similar to many other efforts in these projects. So you take a bunch of photos, preferably in controlled, non-harsh lighting conditions, etc., etc., and we can then process it and create a 3D model that you can measure online, but you can also download and do whatever you want on your local PC. This is something that is hugely popular, not just in digital cultural heritage, but also in game and multimedia and TV and movies, etc., etc. We can also digitize much larger things, which are unavailable for 3D scanning classical. You can also document archaeological digs, which is something our archaeologists apparently admire very much, because it's much faster to just take 500 photos than to draw, I don't know, all the lines and depths and everything else. And you can always change the perspective after you have reconstructed the model. We have also worked with the organization that does mine removal in Bosnia and Herzegovina, because we had a war. Ergo, we have a lot of landmines all around the country. We don't want to have the landmines, so basically we have to remove the landmines from the land. And you also take a drone, you take a bunch of photos of the area, and then you can, unfortunately not see here, but you could see a 3D model of the ground which was reconstructed, which pretty much helps people that are removing landmines. Yeah. But I think that the people who are watching from camera, yeah, unfortunately, yes. But you have all this, you will have all this in digital form, in open format if you want to, because it was created by LibreOffice, so it will work everywhere. You can also reconstruct parts of the forts or larger objects, and everything works fine. But here's the catch, that's not enough. This is something that you can always do, that they already do. You could, I don't know, buy or take an open source software, use it on your PC. The catch is to involve the people that do not want to install software on their PCs and teach them how to use your software provided for them. So we have open data, museum repository. We can search by text or category, but it's boring. Text is boring, and there are a lot of images in the database. So we know how to train neural network, thanks to Professor Isojevic and classification, etc. So we would like to build a visual search, like Google Images reverse search, but limited to the entries that we have in our museum. So basically, you take a photo of an old banknote, upload it, and it will offer you the same note. You can also see how we recycle the designs, because we had hyperinflation, so basically we were printing new banknotes with just different denomination every few years, and nobody wants to redesign the complete note. When you click on it, you get all the metadata that we have in our repository, plus front side, back side, and everything else in high resolution, etc., etc., which is a nice thing. So basically, you can take a picture of, this is called Zmijanje embroidery, which is non-material cultural heritage, etc., etc., protected by UNESCO, and it will find, of course, something that it's supposed to find, but it will also find some banknotes that have similar patterns. And here you can see how the machine learning algorithm thinks, how it extracts some landmarks or features and tries to match it. So if you squint your eyes, it kind of looks like what you gave it to search for. So it's a good thing. And the worst part that can happen is that you actually click on the wrong link and learn something new, which is not a bad worst part at all. So basically, if you give it a guitar, it will find a guitar, not really a guitar, but looks like a guitar, head of this, rotated 180 degrees, and it's also a wooden part of the old socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, coat of arms or whatever. So it's not, and then you find another thing to learn in your life. Of course, this has limitations, and if you give it something like this, obviously we don't store web comics in our museum, although the point is very good, because this is artist rendition of how I wish my doctoral thesis defense went. Basically, you can see again how it works. It will try to find some line arts, and worst case scenario is you learn something new about Neolithic jewelry or Zmijanje Vez. So basically, what we want to do? We want to integrate with the RSSE. We want to produce this huge reconstruction of terrain, then put it through classification and get a model of 3D model of terrain, which is also classified so that we know that we have reconstructed a river, a forest, or whatnot in 3D. And we are currently working on a patch-based approach, but we are not really happy about that. We want nicer things to happen. We are also testing automatic transcription from audio, thanks to OpenAI Whisper, which was recently open source, but there was quite closed beta for a while. It works amazingly for English and Spanish, I think, but it was trained also on our local languages, and it works much better than not having no transcription at all, because we have a lot of people from social sciences, humanities, that are severely underserved in EOSC story and high performance computing, and there is no way that they are going to learn how to write JDL files for batch systems. So we are here to help them and to let them be included in the process and to basically steer what we want to do in the next period with them, because they are not our consumers, because we are not Google. They are our friends and colleagues, and we are very, very grateful to them for providing interesting problems for us to solve, so we can all benefit. So that's it. I hope this was not too long. There are no questions, I guess. I'm available for coffee afterwards.